Welcome to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen. I'm a productivity speaker, author, and classroom teacher. Here at Virtual School Assembly, I interview Hollywood celebrities, professional athletes, Olympians, speakers, and educators who share messages of inspiration, education, and hope to better prepare you for an ever-changing and uncertain world. Thanks for joining us. Let's get started. Welcome back to Virtual School Assembly. I'm your host, Tyler Christensen, and today we're going to do a solo episode. This will be the first and probably the last solo episode. But as we wind down with season two, I wanted to share with you a message that I have from the 150 episodes that we've had so far. What are some of the lessons that I've learned? And in particular, I wanted to share the lessons, five lessons that I've learned over COVID. Now, the thing that makes these five lessons special to me is after all is said and done, I mean, we've heard so many great guests on this show, Olympians, celebrities and from Hollywood, professional speakers, and they've shared inspirational messages and they've taught us things that we could be doing, especially during COVID, as far as improving our mental health, our physical health, learning a new skill. And there's just been so much value on this channel. But when I look back over the last 150 episodes and I thought back over the last 15 months and what are the lessons that I've learned, the thing that jumped out to me is, as important as all these lessons have been, these mini assemblies have been to me, where I've learned the most personally is actually here in the walls of my own home. Here I am sitting in my own virtual studio that I built out over this last year. And I've learned a lot in this room as I've talked to different people. But it's the little feet that run around the floor and that disrupt the episodes. That's where I've learned the most. And so I wanted to share five lessons I've learned from home during COVID. Now, to start off, I'm just going to go in age order. So I'm going to start. The first lesson, number one, is the lesson of support. My wife has been a rock star through these last 15 months. And she's always been that way. Her motto in life is, as far as parenting our children, if you can say yes, say yes. And so when it comes to spending time with our children, doing creative and innovative new things, she's always in favor of that and has been such a great example. But over COVID, she's been so supportive of this channel of the, you know, honestly, it's taken me hundreds, maybe thousands of hours doing this channel. And she's been supportive of all that. And of the other things I've done on the side, I've had a number of TED Talks TEDx Talks this last year. I've been able to do some other speaking and other side hustles and side gigs that I've been involved in. And she's been so supportive. And so that's lesson number one, is just showing support and being genuine about it. And perhaps the best way that she has shown her support to me and to our family in general is we go on walks almost every day. We have a little country lane out here by our house, and we'll take the dog and we'll head out for a half hour or an hour, and we'll go on walks and we'll talk about our hopes and dreams. And that's where we can communicate what we really want most in life. And because of that, we've seen some remarkable things happen here within our own home in the last year. We've had some awesome projects that we've worked on together. We've developed a bunch of new things, and it's just been wonderful. So that's lesson number one. Lesson number two comes from my oldest son. And he's actually out working on it right now, but his is a lesson of perseverance. I've alluded to this on a few other talks, but one of the coolest things over the last year or so has been watching my son, who is preparing to drive, and he really wanted to get his own car. And I told him I wasn't going to buy him one, and he didn't really want one. He wanted to earn it himself. And so what he did is he went door to door around our neighborhood and asked if he could mow lawns or take care of pets. And he started working with a friend of ours up the way and started kind of apprenticing with him, learning how to fix and restore cars and working with him in his garage. And over the last year, he's actually saved several thousand dollars. And this last January, paid cash and bought his dream car, which was a 1967 Ford Mustang. And it's just really cool to watch how he's persevered in working towards this car, and he's continued to work hard and put in the time. But now that he has it and he has to restore it, It takes a lot of work to rebuild a 1967 Mustang, and he's outside right now welding. And he's learned how to weld. He's learned how to grind different things off the car. He's bought different parts. He's worked with other adults to figure out how things work together. I know nothing about cars. And so for my son, it's been YouTube and other caring adults, and he's reached out to them. And of course they want to help. They want to support. In fact, I've had a few neighbors who were disappointed that he bought his own car because they legit wanted to buy him a car because he's been so helpful in things they've needed. And he's been such a good friend to them, especially during this time. And so he has a lot of support. So now if he goes and mows a lawn, it's not uncommon for him to make $20 mowing the lawn and then to get a $40 tip because they just want to help him fulfill this dream of restoring this classic car. It's been so cool. And I just gave a TEDx talk that once it comes out, I'll link to it in the description, where I talk about this process that he goes through and some of the lessons, more of the lessons that I learned in watching this. But in summary, one of the really cool things that he's done with it is as he's learning so much about restoring cars and figuring this all out, he wants to share it with others. So he started his own YouTube channel and he has a TikTok channel and stuff. And so I can link to that as well. But it's really cool that he wants to teach others. You know, it's not just about him learning how to do this stuff and him taking advantage, but he's been able to share that with others. So that's lesson number two, is perseverance. Lesson number three is of courage. Now, this is my older daughter who has struggled with anxiety, and she's really shy. She's an introvert like me. And during the pandemic, of course, in many ways, that's great for us introverts. We have more time to ourselves, and that's wonderful. But she saw her brother working so hard and fulfilling his dreams. She wanted to do likewise. And so I'm so proud of her. In the middle of the summer, she created her own business where she took a bicycle with like one of those carrying carts, and she painted it and changed it up, and then painted some shirts and a hat, and so she'd have merchandise, and she created an ice cream cart. Then she got some music and went around the neighborhood and started selling ice cream to the neighborhood kids, because of course there are no ice cream trucks right now during COVID, but she wanted to do that. And so it was really scary for her to approach other people, but she decided she was going to do it. And at first she took her siblings with her so she wouldn't have to be here by herself. And then her friends caught on and they really loved it. So she hired her friends to help her sell the ice cream. And so she got that first taste of starting her own business and didn't make a ton of money, but did make enough money that it was worth her while. And so that was really cool. The reason this is a lesson of courage is because it took so much courage for her to approach strangers, to go around and do different things. But she started with the little things. She started the things that she didn't have to face people to create the ice cream cart and to buy the ice cream and stuff like that. And then she took people close to her to get started. And that's a great lesson. Even if you're afraid of something, you can get the support of people around you so that you can continue to move forward. So I just think that that's a really cool lesson. Lesson number four now is a lesson of resilience. Now, this is my younger son, and he has always been just a trooper and someone that I've admired. When he was born, he had a bunch of delays, you know, with fine motor skills, with cognitive development. He was a little slower than the other kids in so many ways. And because of that, he was treated differently, not just by kids, but by adults. In fact, one of the hardest years of my life was seeing him in preschool with teachers who did not care about him. They did not love him. They told him and told us that he would be disabled all his life and that he'd always struggle in school. And we were still trying to figure out what was wrong, why he had these delays. He had low muscle tone, and so that made it harder for him to compete in physical things. But we just didn't accept that, and neither did he. And it's been cool. He has grown and developed a lot since then. He's now 10 years old and he's doing so well. And school was really difficult this year, but his resilience has shown through, as not only has he embraced these challenges of going online and then going to hybrid and then going face to face, but with masks and other things that made it more difficult, but he's done it with a positive attitude and he's really excelled. His reading level has gone off the charts this year as he's had extra time to read, and he's tried a lot of new things.
And something that I think is maybe the funnest is because physical things are difficult for him. One of my greatest memories of this whole COVID is when I've been home with the kids, we do Just Dance, and he loves to dance. And first thing in the morning, we'll start our workouts together. And so we'll put on some really loud music. My wife loves that. And while we're listening to AC/DC or Guns N' Roses or Van Halen, we're doing push-ups, we're doing sit-ups, we're doing jumping jacks. And he wanted to do that with me every day. So I always had that companion to come down to the gym with me and to start my day off right. And I just love that. And I love that example of resilience because I know it's harder for him. I know that it's more challenging for him than it is for a normal person like myself. I shouldn't say normal, he's normal, but you know what I mean. So I love that. The fifth lesson, and this might be the most subtle, but probably also the most important, and this is my youngest daughter. And this is an example or a lesson of love. Over COVID, I'm going to get a little emotional here. One of the challenges we faced early on in COVID is that our youngest daughter has very severe asthma. And we've spent a lot of time in the hospital with her. And when we found out that this is a disease that hits the respiratory system, we were very nervous about that. So when things started shutting down and people started wearing masks, we were very supportive of all that because we wanted to keep our daughter safe. And her older siblings have shown such a great example because when there have been opportunities where it was do the overly cautious thing, wearing masks or social distancing or washing your hands, they've always done it without complaint because they know that they're doing it for their little sister. They want to keep her safe. And so even when people started having parties again and doing different things, they would ask, well, I'd like to come, but you know, can I wear a mask or is everyone going to wear masks? And what they found, these older siblings found, is that a lot of their friends, the people who cared about them, were also willing to make changes, make adjustments because they cared about my other kids who cared about their sister. And so it was just really cool to see that. So that's how COVID started with us, is being overly cautious. And I'm glad we did, quite frankly. My father passed away from COVID, and we know that it's real. It really has hit our family hard, and it's been a sobering thing. I've loved seeing the love that my children have had for their sister. Now, on the flip side, she has taught me a lot about love during this time because this has been a hard time. As a teacher, it's been the hardest year ever in teaching. It's just been difficult because there are a lot of things that have been thrown off with changing formats and creating new curriculum and doing it in a different way, not having the same resources or support we've had in the past because they're all working on other things and we've been stretched really thin in education. It's been really, really hard. I've wanted to quit many, many times. But I know that when I get home from work each day, I have at least one little person who's going to yell daddy and run over and give me a hug and tell me that she loves me. And that has meant the world to me during COVID. And not just because she's doing it, but because as everything has happened this year with COVID, with Black Lives Matter, with this crazy presidential election and transitioning into a new era, there's been a lot of hate. There's been a lot of anger. There's been a lot of judgment in the world. And what we need is a little more love. And so I've loved this lesson that my daughter has shown, that let's make the most of things. Let's be optimistic. Let's give people hugs when we can. And when we can't, let's give them an air high five. And let's just show each other that we love each other and we can do this together. So those are my five lessons. I you know, it's been great being part of Virtual School Assembly. This has been such an honor and a privilege for me to be involved. And I hope that it has been likewise for you. As this is episode 150 and the last episode of season two, I thought rather than doing an interview here at the end, I would just do a quick Q&A because I have had a lot of questions come in about the channel. So let me just pose some of those questions and then I'll answer them. So the question number one is Virtual School Assembly going to continue? And the answer to that is, I don't know. This honestly might be the last episode. It was created in COVID to serve a need to help students that couldn't have access to live assemblies. And not only has it served that need, but it's also been part of this new wave of virtual assemblies, of virtual speaking. And I've loved seeing how that has caught on and is growing. There are a lot of things you can do virtually that you can't do face-to-face. And so there's some really cool things about virtual. But of course, we all want to get back to normal face-to-face interactions. We miss seeing each other and being with each other. So as far as school assemblies are concerned, my hope is that it goes back to live in-person assemblies as soon as possible, hopefully by this next fall. And if it doesn't, then there would be more of a need for something like this. However, that being said, I have 150 episodes or mini assemblies. And I think that the challenge now isn't in creating new ones. It's in using the ones we already have. And so what I'm planning on doing moving forward is not filming a lot of new assemblies, but creating resources for the existing assemblies. So if somebody wants to do an assembly on bullying, I can tell you which 5 episodes to go to. Or if you want to do one on physical health, I can tell you which episodes to go to, or mental health and anxiety. And so that's the challenge for me now moving forward, is getting everything categorized, organized, cleaning up the website, making it really user-friendly. So if schools do need to have a virtual assembly, or if just teachers want to use this in their class for an example or something like that, I want to make it easier to use. Part of the reason I think the YouTube channel hasn't exploded is because these assemblies have been a little bit lengthy. And so if we do move forward, it will be a different format. It will be shortening the assemblies. It will get to the point more quickly, probably less of an interview at the end. And so the format will change if we do continue forward, but I'm not going to determine that until further on in the summer. All right. So that's the first question. The next question is, why did you do virtual school assembly? And the answer, I think I already answered this. I just wanted to serve a need with students. I saw my own students were struggling. They needed some inspiration and some hope. And so while I couldn't bring my friends in or other people in to do that in face-to-face ways, we could do that virtually. And I think it's really served that need, and it's done a good job. It has been a major time commitment. I ran the numbers recently, and I estimate that I did spend over 1,000 hours on this channel, more than 5 or 6 hours per episode. And that's a lot of time between figuring out how to run a podcast, how to create a YouTube channel, how to edit the videos, scheduling and connecting with influencers, and then actually doing the interviews. It's been just a whole lot of work. And because I was doing all that work, I wasn't doing things to serve my family and to serve myself. And so honestly, I'm looking forward to this summer of 2021 to go on a family vacation, to spend more time exercising and doing the things I know I should be doing to have balance in my life. And I want to get back in onto the speaking circuit. You know, I've been able to do a few TEDx talks this year, but I haven't been able to go to other schools and do the other kinds of speaking that I love to do. And so I'm hopeful that as I dial things back with virtual school assembly, it will open things up for me to still share messages that I have. And so, and if you want to know about those, you can go to my website, tylerchristensen.com, where I have my speaker reel and stuff like that. Another question I get is, what are your favorite episodes, or what are the best episodes? And of course, that is very subjective. But I do have a few. And so let me tell you just some of my favorite episodes. One of them early on was Benji Hadfield, who's someone that I knew from high school. He's actually the younger brother of one of my close friends. And he shared, his was actually the longest episode. It was, I think, close to an hour long, but he shares his experience of just having so many things go wrong, of having he and his wife had miscarriages and they couldn't have children, and then struggling with his job, and then getting a good job as a dentist, but then having to relocate, and then having his house burned down, just all these horrible, horrible things that happened to him, and looking at the silver linings of those and all the blessings and opportunities that came because of these things that went wrong. I love that episode, especially given that we're in COVID and things are going wrong. It was just really inspiring to me, and I hadn't heard the story in its entirety, so I loved having that experience. So that was one. Also early in the season, another person that I know personally, Coach Kevin Black, who's a wrestling coach, he shared a message on servant leadership And I just loved it. I aired it on Easter Sunday, and it was just so appropriate for his message. So that's one of my favorites. There have been a few that I think were really significant. Christine Ravesi Weinstein gave a talk on anxiety and managing anxiety. And I think she was spot on and gave some really actionable, useful advice. Similarly, Dr. Christopher Willard gave a talk on mindfulness and just some great strategies for breathing and meditation and being mindful. And I think that that was super, super helpful as well. So in the area of mental health, I think those two talks were just fantastic. Finally, in this last season, there were a few episodes that really it was just people who inspired me. So let me mention a few of those. One was Eileen Gruba, who was early in the season. She shared a message around bullying and some of the experiences she's had as a working actress in Hollywood who has a physical disability. And hearing her story and how she's been able to really do some amazing things in her life, that was super inspiring to me. Lance Kidelli is a photographer and videographer, and he talked about flow and how he can just honestly, the reason his message inspired me is just his optimism and looking at the positive things in life. I just was really inspired by his episode. Joshua Pelland is a Paralympian. Or a para athlete. He's not a Paralympian yet. He's working towards that. But a Paralympian, he does cycling. And prior to an accident, he was a rock climber. He had a climbing accident, is paralyzed now. And rather than just complain and wallow away, he's done something with that. And he's still an athlete. I think his story is really inspiring. Another para athlete, and this is a Paralympian, is Danielle Campos McLeod, who her story is amazing. Right before we told her story, she got amazing medical news that would change her life forever. And I just loved hearing about her growing up with a disability and being involved in the Paralympics and other para events that she had done as a swimmer. But then now later in her life, being able to see that some of the physical disabilities she had early on, she's been able to do some things that have changed that situation for her. And so she's experiencing more normal life for the first time, which is just so cool to hear. And I just loved hearing her message. It was so inspiring. So I've probably left out a ton of other ones that I like. Akeem Haynes, I loved hearing his story. He was an Olympian that was homeless at one point as a child and talks about that experience and overcoming so much as an immigrant and then being homeless and then make it to the Olympics and in the Olympics, barely missing medaling and then being able to finally medal with as part of the relay team. His story is so inspiring. I love that. So I guess I could just keep going on and on, but that's why we have 150 episodes. So check them out, go through the catalogs, and maybe what I'll do is I'll create some blog posts where I list my favorite messages in different categories. Of course, I haven't even mentioned some of my favorite speakers who have inspired me because I learned so much from Rob Ferret, Joe Fingerhut, David Rendall, Mark Black. Some of the best professional speakers in the world who honestly, they're really hard to book a lot of times, but in this virtual world, they were willing to come onto the virtual stage and share inspiring messages. Judson Lipley was the first one that came onto the platform and same thing. So super inspired by some of these professional speakers, and grateful for them coming on the platform. Well, that's enough. Let's wrap up. I hope you have a wonderful summer. Again, it's been such a privilege and an honor to be part of Virtual School Assembly. I hope it's been wonderful for you. If you've learned something and it's made a difference in your life, why don't you drop that in the comments? I'd love to hear about your experiences with this show and with this platform, and that would be super. All right, have a great summer. See ya.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Virtual School Assembly. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever else you listen to virtual assemblies. And leave us a rating and review so we know what you learned and took away from this virtual assembly. Videos and show notes are found at virtualschoolassembly.com. And if you're a school leader and you're looking for a speaker for virtual or traditional in-school assemblies, or if you're looking for some teacher training, I'd love to connect with you to see how I can help. You can check out my website at tylerchristensen.com. Thanks. You are super duper. Let's go out and make the world a better place. Bye-bye.